I felt like the Lord said, this is going to hurt a little bit. And, you know, when you go to the doctor and the doctor says that, he wants to kind of prepare you. I just feel like I want to prepare you. And I don't know what Rob's actually going to say, but I just felt like we just need to be open to sometimes the ministry of the Lord pricks a little bit, but it's good for us. And I got this picture of, you know, sometimes we wear this armor. It's called the fear of man when we come to church. We're afraid of what other people will think of us. And you're going to have opportunity today to receive and give ministry to one another. And that's uncomfortable. But I just want to encourage you to be open, because when we allow the Lord just to open us up, the Holy Spirit has opportunity to move. And so I'm just going to pray for Rob that the Lord will give Rob wisdom as he leads us in this. Lord, I thank you for the ministry of the word. Lord, I want to thank you that your word is sharp. And we just open our hearts up to what you want to do. And Lord, I just pray for Rob that you'd give him wisdom and just guide him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody, how are you doing this morning? That's good. I don't know what Brad's talking about. I just have a feel-good message. Well, we'll see. They had never been so scared and yet so excited at the same time. There they stood on the edge of their destiny in God as a whole nation, a whole generation, staring their future in the face, scared because of the unknown, yet excited because they had been brought by God to the brink of their destiny. In between them and their destiny, a river, rushing, dangerous, flowing. But they couldn't take their eyes off of what was beyond the river, the promises of God for their life, the purposes of God for them. And the ironic part was, this wasn't the first time they stood here. 40 years previous, when this whole generation was young children, all the way to young people, young adults, they stood here before and watched their parents look over at their destiny on the other side, look over at the promises and the purposes of God on the other side of that very river. Their memories of that time would be painful. They watched their parents be led by God. They experienced the miracles of God all through the desert, all the way to this point. They had trust in God, that generation, and they watched their parents shudder and quake and quail and finally give up and not go for the purposes of God because of fear. Well, they watched their parents debate how they should execute their own leadership. They watched their parents worry and wail and weep about their women and children. They watched Moses declare prophetically from God that because you've turned back, you will wander in this desert for 40 years, and there's not one of you who is going to be alive to cross over. When your children do it, the very children that you wept and wailed and thought God wouldn't protect, your very children would be standing at the brink of this river again, looking into their destiny in God, but they wouldn't turn back. They would cross over. Well, they watched their parents weep and wail about that prophetic word. They watched their parents realize that they had sinned against God. They watched their parents try to even make it right somehow. We'll go anyways. Let's go now. And Moses said, no, God's not going with you now. You've got your destiny now, and it's in this desert. It's what you've chosen. And I'm not going with you, Moses said. And that didn't bother them. They didn't care if God didn't go with them. They didn't care if Moses didn't go with them. They did cross over and ended up getting beaten up and ran back. And so that generation, 40 years later, is standing in the same place, looking at the vision of the purposes of God, seeing it with their own eyes, and knowing that this was not their parents' call now. This was their call. This was something that they needed to do. They needed courage from God. They needed unity from God. They needed vision from God, strength to accomplish the good purposes and to receive the good promises that God had for them. This was Israel 2.0, so to speak, standing on the brink of their destiny at the Jordan River. And that's where I want to go into the Word of God as we talk about purpose, as we talk about vision, the purposes of God. And as the people of God in Christ, this has a lot to do with us because God is a purposeful God. It's not just for certain few people. It's not just for nations a long, long time ago. It's for us every day. Every day we're standing on a brink of the purposes of God, somewhat like that Jordan River. And every day we need to make the decision to cross and to cross into all of God's promises for us today, individually in our households, for the future, in the church, in the fellowships that we belong to. So let's take a look at Joshua chapter 3 in the Word of God. And hopefully I'm going to be using the ESV, so you could feel free to use the projector for that. Joshua chapter 3, and I'll start at verse 1. Then Joshua, verse 1, chapter 3, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp. So there was a 3-day period where they were suspended, not really moving forward, not really moving back, but just in this state of suspension, that inhale before the purposes of God begin to unfold. And it's really interesting what happened before they crossed over. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. At verse 2, and at the end of 3 days, oh, perfect, excellent, and I'm in verse 2 now. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. They were on the edge of a move of God, and you can notice that the first thing in the parade, the first part of that procession isn't us, like the parents of that generation trying to go forward without the one who was supposed to be leading that. And who is that? God. His presence represented, not just represented, but actually his presence as they moved out. And I'm in verse 3 now. Being the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried out by the Levitical priests. Then they fall in behind it because God is leading them through. That's what's going to be happening. Verse 4. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go. For you've not passed this way before. Of course, in the purposes of God, there's an element of the unknown. We know something's up. We know something is going to happen. Sometimes we feel it in our heart or in our spirit before it does. Sometimes we're carried along as it unfolds. but pretty well all the time, we don't know exactly what it is. And that's what happened to Israel. They didn't know exactly what was going to happen or how it was going to happen. They needed to follow. And that's what they're instructed to do, to follow, because they'd never been this way before. Brothers and sisters, Trinity has never been this way before. As you stand at the edge of a new season, and brothers and sisters, as individuals, you've never been this way before. You haven't lived your future yet. Not unless there's something crazy happening. But I know I haven't lived my future yet. I haven't been that way before. So we all need to take a lesson here, just as we're reading this, that it's the Lord who walks ahead of us. He guides us and leads us through the unknown, which is our life, the purposes of God. And then, verse 5. Verse 5 is the one I'm going to be camping on today. About, well, they had their purposes, they had the plans, and, well, is there anything to do before that? Is there anything to do as they're embarking? And the answer is yes, and you see it in verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And as you and I stand on the brink of our destiny in Christ, as for those who are believers in Jesus, you know that you're His workmanship and that you've been created in Christ Jesus for good works, to do good works which God prepared in advance for you to do. That's our inheritance in this life. That's what happens between now and the time that Jesus returns, or when we go to see the Lord. And that is purposes, God's plans. We enter into those. We're right in the middle of those. But there's something to do as we stand on the brink, and that is to consecrate ourselves. Israel had to do this before they took one step forward. We need to do this regularly in our lives, to consecrate ourselves. And you know, it's a little bit of a funny word, so I want to make sure it's not a word we use like all the time. Maybe you didn't use the word consecrate today. I did, only because I was thinking about the sermon. Here's what consecration is. You ready? Consecration is a formal dedication to a divine purpose. A formal dedication to a divine purpose. Turn to your neighbor and say, a formal dedication to a divine purpose. Go for it. Very good. Now, turn to your neighbor, and one of the people ask, what's consecration? And the other person say, a formal dedication to a divine purpose. Go for it. Excellent. Very good. And as believers in Jesus, we know that our formal dedication to a divine purpose is actually a formal dedication to a divine person first, and that is the Lord Jesus. We're dedicated and devoted to Him, and it's Him. It's He who has these purposes, these divine purposes for us to dedicate and to devote ourselves to. So that formal dedication to a divine purpose is a formal dedication to a divine person first. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. We often want to know the way, and Jesus is saying, I'm the way. So, brothers and sisters, if you want to come into the purposes of God, there's an easy way to do it, and His name is Jesus. If you've never come to a saving relationship with God in Jesus Christ, wow, there are plans and purposes that God has for you in your life that you will never find until you come into right relationship with God in Jesus Christ. And then those plans and purposes will flow out, but not for their own sakes. It's all because of Jesus. So my encouragement is, put your faith in Jesus, and your life will become a divine adventure. And we're taking a look now at the children of Israel who are standing on the brink of such a divine adventure. And they were told to consecrate themselves. Now, this formal dedication to a divine purpose, what does it involve? It actually involves doing some things. The first, cleansing. Consecration involves cleansing, two kinds. The first kind is, I guess I would call it a physical cleansing. And the Israelites got very literal when it came to consecrating themselves to God's purposes in terms of cleansing. They took a bath. If you remember in Exodus 19, verse 14, when Israel was called up to the mountain, Mount Sinai, to meet with God, Moses had led them to this mountain at the command of God. It says in Exodus 19, 14, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. This was in preparation for them to meet God on the mountain. Now, if we fast forward to here's the Israelites, that generation that was to receive that prophetic word from God through Moses, that they were going to be the ones to cross over, not their parents, but that this generation would have what it took by the grace of God to cross over into their purposes. The first thing they did as they stood on the eastern side of the Jordan, they took a bath. They washed their clothes. They got the dirt off of them. Years and years and years of dirt from the desert. 40 years worth of desert. Now, we know that there's something about just putting on something fresh that has to do with a fresh start. And it was very literally symbolic. They washed the dust of the desert off of themselves. And we're understanding that they weren't just washing dirt off of themselves. They were washing the past off of themselves. You see, they were shepherds. They were kind of doomed to a life of just wandering around in the desert because of a decision that their parents' generation made. But in order to cross over into the promised land, they had to leave all of that behind. And you know as well as I do that when you're in a situation like that for that long, you start thinking that way. You start, just like they had to stop thinking like slaves, they had to stop thinking like wanderers, and they had to stop acting in ways that reflected the mistakes of the past. They had to wash all that off because the purposes and the plans that God had for them, those things would be a hindrance. Those things would stand in their way. They wouldn't be able to receive and to take on the good and the new things of God unless they let it go. And you know what? They watched their parents not let it go. They watched their parents looking for a way to get back to Egypt, to get back to the slavery that they had come out of, because they were afraid to let it all go, trust God, and move on. Brothers and sisters, as we all stand on the brink of such things, the things of God, do you need to wash the dust from the past off of you? Past failures, past mistakes, past disappointments, past labels that maybe others have put on you or that you've put on yourself, past hurts? Is it time to let them go and move on? to take the purposes of God. There's something attractive about, it's in a weird way, but there's something attractive about all, and familiar about all of these past things. But we see in Hebrews 12, you know, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off all that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run. They're not running backwards, they're running forwards. Run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So, I am wondering if there's anybody who right here and right now is, that's hitting them, and they're thinking, yeah, you know, there are things about my past and unforgiveness and labels and hurts and disappointments. My past is hindering me. I believe the Lord wants to release you today. What it would take is something from all of us today. And the first thing is, if that's you, and only you would know if it's you, if you're saying, you know what, I want to consecrate myself. I want to let it go. Maybe you'd think, well, it's really hard or it's impossible. I've never let it go before. Doesn't matter. This is all about prayer, so we're calling on God to do something. That you're saying, this is me, that's me. I want to move on. I want to go forward. If that's you, just stand up. I knew it. God's doing something here. Excellent, excellent. Okay, stay standing. Now, there's a job for the rest of us here. And that job is to pray for the people who are standing up. And basically it would be like this. So nobody move yet, but you look around and you find somebody who's standing. And if they're sitting right, if they're right beside you, you can just stand beside them or whatever, but you'll probably have to get out of your seat to be able to find somebody to pray for them. Let's make sure nobody's standing alone. And then you can ask them a question. You say, would you like to say what you'd like me to pray for, or do you just want me to pray? It doesn't matter. You can pray whether you know or not exactly. Sometimes the person would want to say, you know what? I need to let this go. Well, that gives you something specific to pray about. Or the person might say, you know what? Just pray. And God knows, and you're praying, so then just pray. And the idea is, you're speaking into the love of God. You're speaking into the blood of Christ. You're speaking into the plans and purposes of God. You're speaking into the fact that we're God's children as ones who belong to Jesus. And we are supporting this person in this desire to leave it behind. We're asking that the Holy Spirit would fill them so that they can move on, that they can accomplish that purpose. In other words, you don't have to make anything happen. You're just asking God to do something. Okay? Got an idea of what to do here? Okay, now I'm going to ask for people who are sitting to go find somebody who's standing and get praying for them. We're only going to do this for like maybe 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then we're moving on. But let's do it. Okay, go for it. Let's have nobody standing alone. That's the thing. There we go. Come on. And it doesn't matter if you don't have a lot of experience at it. If you can talk, you can pray. Because praying is just talking to God. There's two people standing here. You want to, good, I see. Okay, is there anyone standing alone? Are you going to, you can take both. Yeah, you go for it. You go for it. You can do it. Anyone standing alone? I see someone down over there standing alone yet. I'll pray for you. Anyone else standing alone? Put your hand up. Okay. Let's pray. Okay, just a few more seconds yet, maybe about 30 more seconds. When you're done, just bless them in Jesus' name, and you can find your seat again. Praise the Lord. Okay. Wonderful. So consecration involves cleansing. And if we want to move forward in the purposes of God, sometimes we have to let go. Well, sometimes, a lot of times, we have to let go of the things of the past that are being hindrances to us. God knows all about it. And He wants to free us into His purposes, His plans, His vision. There's another kind of cleansing that consecration involves, and that is spiritual cleansing. For the children of Israel there at the banks of the Jordan, that would have meant something very specific, and that is you find some animals, some unwilling animals, and it involved the blood sacrifice of animals to atone for sin, because if you're going to move forward into the purposes of God, the last thing you want is sin hanging on to you. That's again, it reminds me of Hebrews, you know, to throw off all that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You get the idea of a runner trying to run, but he or she is being tripped up. Tripped up by what? Sin. So spiritual cleansing is really important as we're on the brink of the purposes of God. For the Israelites, it was animal sacrifice. But of course, for us who are in Christ, it's completely different, because Jesus Himself was a sacrifice for our sins. He, once and for all, atoned for our sin before God. So the first part of consecration for a believer in Jesus is believing, accepting, receiving the fact that Jesus Christ died and paid for your sins in full. You see, the enemy, he tries to get you to sin. Okay, temptation, temptation, temptation. It's so great. Come on, do this. Come on, do this. And then when we give in to sin, the enemy just switches gears. Condemnation, condemnation, condemnation. You wretch, how could you have done that? Because he doesn't care. He just wants to get destruction. And he'll get destruction through temptation, and he'll get destruction through condemnation. If we do not believe, accept, receive that Jesus Christ paid it all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. He paid it all. Our sin isn't too great for the blood of Christ. He didn't just give a partial payment either, where we have to do a whole bunch of stuff to make up for a deficit that came from the cross. That doesn't even make any sense. So the first thing that has to do with consecration for believers in some fashions is to wash ourselves, be sanctified by the truth. And God's word is truth. And that is that He forgives sins. Everybody's sins. The ones, not, by that I mean like there isn't one that's too big or too small. Jesus paid it all for you and for me. So our consecration begins with gratitude and a reception of the truth that Jesus died and paid for your sins and mine. It also comes with, if we've got sin in our lives, it also comes with repenting, because it's based on the fact that Jesus made a way to come to the Father. He made a way for us. Well, we got to use that way. We got to take that way. When we have sin, we come to the Father because we can. And we can ask Him for forgiveness for our sins. And He is just and righteous, and He forgives us and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen? So, I mean, we can't be all just kind of philosophical about it and go, well, Jesus paid it all. That means I just have to sit here and sin, and then all of a sudden it just goes away because Jesus paid it all. No, Jesus made a way for us so that we can bring our sin often, because we sin often. We can bring our sin to the Father because Jesus' blood made that way, paid for our sins, made us able to bring them to the Father and to ask for forgiveness and to receive that forgiveness. Are you suffering under the weight of sin right now? Are you entangled, not able to move forward, being tripped up constantly? And really the reason is sin, and it's not confessed? I've got good news for you. You can confess your sin because of Jesus. Do you need a clean slate spiritually going forward? I know I do. Repent of your sins. That's a gift from God that Jesus paid for. Repent of your sins. Receive God's forgiveness. Believe in Jesus, and believe Jesus when He says the truth about these things. Move forward in life. Let's move forward in life into the plans and purposes of God without the weight of sin. We're going to apply this in a quiet and individual way. Going to give us a couple of minutes. We're going to take time in silence and have a conversation with the Lord. And if we can't find any sin that's around, we can just ask Him. The Word of God says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." Well, He does. So He might bring a sin to mind. Like, you know what? You've been holding on to this one, and you really need to let it go. You really need to ask for forgiveness. You really need to receive cleansing. You really need to have the grace to go on differently. And all of that's from God. The enemy is really afraid of what we're going to do right now. And that is push it all aside, push all the objections aside, push it all aside and say, "Search me, O God." And then see if He brings something to mind, ask for forgiveness, receive His forgiveness, receive His cleansing, and receive the Holy Spirit's filling to go on differently. You get it? Okay, we're just going to take a couple of minutes. I'm going to do the same thing, and let's take some time with the Lord. Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There you've been sanctified by the word. That's another word for washed. Now, maybe that's not a finished process. I mean, we're only just maybe getting started here. I mean, you can just take that home afterwards and continue in and speak with the Lord about these things. So consecration. What is consecration again? A formal dedication to a divine purpose. Okay, very good. Okay, consecration is a formal dedication to a divine purpose. It involves cleansing. Both physical, sometimes you need to just let some things from the past go, and also spiritual cleansing so that we're clean and ready to hear from the Lord, whatever he has in mind. The second aspect of consecration is another C word, commissioning. There's cleansing and there's commissioning. Consecration is a formal dedication to a divine purpose. And we are commissioned into the purposes of God. We're going to be gathering together tonight to celebrate a commissioning. It's Brad being ordained in a certain role. Now, there are very kind of official and denominational things that go with that. But make no mistake, there is a whole spiritual layer to this that involves Brad personally, and it involves Trinity corporately. Because God's underneath all of these things that we do, and we do them with sincere hearts and to the best of our ability, but it's God who commissions people for his purposes, and we recognize them as people. So Brad isn't, it's not like somebody is going to be making something happen. God actually is the one who has commissioned Brad in this regard. And, you know, he's a pastor already. He's been walking here for a long time with you already. Things are, you know, it's clear to see that this is a commissioning from God. But there's something about the formal dedication that is not to be ignored. And you're not ignoring it. It's going to be a celebration and a very interesting time. So my encouragement is that you'd come and you'd witness that. Because it doesn't just have to do with that leader over there. It has to do, in a sense, with all of you. Because there's something God is doing in the whole church that Brad is a part of. Anyways, is the Lord commissioning you for something this year? Jesus was consecrated by the Father, commissioned to do the work that he did here on the earth. John 10:36 says, whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world. We're commissioned by Jesus. Jesus says in John 20:21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me," that was a commissioning, "even so I'm sending you." That's a commissioning too. So is the Lord, does he just commission leaders? Does he just commission great missionaries that we read about? The truth is he does do that, but he doesn't just do that. He commissions everybody who is in Christ, because everybody who is in Christ has a place, has a role in the purposes of God. It's a grand thing. Brad preached about it last week, I think, about the God's great plan, and that in God's great plan, everybody has a part. We're not just standing watching God's plan unfold. He picks us up and puts us right into the middle of it, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Praise the Lord. Thanks, Brad. Well, so is the Lord commissioning you for something this year? It's at least, like, if it isn't anything else, it's at least to be a minister and a messenger of reconciliation to the world around you. That happens every day in your workplace or at school or whatever. He's commissioning you to be a minister of reconciliation. That is, that God is reconciling himself to the world. But beyond that, there's many other things that are coming up in this season for you, that God has for you. You may already know about some of these things. He might have already been speaking to you. Or maybe you've just got that feeling that God's got something for you, but you don't know what it is. The challenge is spiritual alertness. We've got to make sure that we're alert to hear from the Lord. And if you've already heard from them, well, there's another challenge. It's called courage, because that's not easy. It's not easy to hear from the Lord either, because often he's telling us to do things and to be things that are beyond us, that we aren't in our own strength and we can't do in our own strength. So there's a challenge no matter what, courage or alertness spiritually. Embrace the commissioning. Take the cleansing seriously, because he will not have you standing by and watching his purposes and his plans. He will place you right in the middle of what he's doing. And you know what? It's scary, but it's fun. It's, if you've ever been in that situation where you're beyond yourself, but you know that this is the Lord and you're moving forward, you feel him. You feel his power and his enabling. Anyone ever had that experience where they're kind of beyond themselves and the Lord came through? Wow, three of us. That's excellent. Good. And there's, oh, four. There's far more for us. All of us, actually. So, going to do this again because you did such a great job at praying that first time. If you feel that God is in the process of commissioning you for something, now it might be some great missionary activity, praise the Lord, or it might be some small thing like the Lord's asking me to reach out to my neighbor or to my coworker or something that you feel God is calling you to do and you know what it is, could you stand? And then we'll pray that you get courage. Okay, I see a couple. There's some more. Good. Excellent. If you're feeling like God is commissioning you to do something, excellent. Very good. And we're going to add to this number as well. If you don't know exactly what it is, but you're feeling like God is saying it's coming, you're on the brink of something, but you don't know what it is, then stand up. Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. Okay, so you see the people standing, and there's people who know what it is that the Lord's been telling them about, and really what they need is courage. So that's what you pray for them. You pray that the Lord would give them courage. The Holy Spirit would fill them and strengthen them. The Holy Spirit would sharpen them and be strong and courageous and do the work. That kind of stuff. The other type of person you might come to is somebody who just is feeling like something, but they don't know what it is. Pray for vision. Pray that the Holy Spirit would give them sight, insight. Pray for patience, because sometimes timing has to do with this. Okay, you kind of get it. So when you approach the people, ask them two questions. Number one, do you want me to pray about something specific, or do you just want me to pray? And the second is, should I be praying for courage or for vision? or both. Okay? Go for it. Make sure nobody's standing alone. Go and pray for somebody. Good? That's good. Raise your hand if you're still waiting for someone to come. If there's somebody there, it'll help people to find you. Somebody over here. Good. Two. Brad, are you going somewhere there? Okay, good. Okay, we still got somebody yet. Okay, excellent. Go for it. Pray. Give you another 30 seconds or so. I know it's a short time, but work with it as best we can. I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Father, you've heard the prayers for people who are feeling tapped on the shoulder by you. And I just pray that these the prayers for courage and for strength and for resolve, that those prayers would be empowered, Lord, by your Spirit. And for the ones who are feeling something, just a prayer for vision and for patience, preparation. And Lord, we all consecrate ourselves to you. We're always on the brink of your purposes. And I know, Father, that Trinity is on the brink of your purposes. And many individuals and households in the room as well, seeking you for the next thing. And I just ask that you would bless them in that journey, Lord, and help them as they consecrate themselves. So consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow, maybe even today, the Lord will do wonders among you. God bless you.
I'm going to bless and release you. I also just want to prophesy over you. The word I get for Trinity Baptist is Freedom Road. I feel like the Lord's called us to a road of freedom this year. And this was the call. We're called to a road of freedom. For some of us, that means that the hindrance is fear. We're hiding from one another. And I just want to encourage you to take steps of self-disclosure. Let people into that battle. This is a year where we're going to be called to lock arms together in the purposes that God is doing, because he's doing things individually, but he's orchestrating something corporately in that individual calling. It's being worked together. And we got to start talking about it with each other, praying for one another, supporting one another in the things that God is doing. Amen? Do you receive that? Let's walk a road of freedom. That means we're going to have to take risks, right? We're going to have to step out, talk about what's going on. And so I just want to encourage you to be free. When you're together, be free with one another. We're called to a freedom road. Let me bless you and release you. So may God, the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.